Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little Madonna to bring us out of that break. Shane Rosenthal joins us as we're talking about loving God with all your mind for the next 25 minutes. And then we're going to be finding out from you which of the four we played today of these Anti-Amendment 2 commercials is your favorite. We'll do four today and four tomorrow and four the next day. We might have to go into next week a little bit because I think there's 16 or 17 of those. And then, out of the four you pick on those 4 days, we'll choose your favorite Anti-Amendment 2 commercial coming from Missourians Against Human Cloning, playing on television and radio locally. Shane Rosenthal is producer of The White Horse Inn, a nationally syndicated program on the radio. He is a board member at Providence Christian Academy, a classical school in South County. Providence is going to be holding a symposium on Friday, October the 20th. It is open to the public, by the way. And Shane's going to be delivering the keynote address titled Loving God with Our Minds, a Christian View of Education. Shane, Madonna says words are useless, especially sentences. How could they say what I feel? How would you interpret Madonna's words?
Yeah, I don't know what she means because I can't understand that sentence. she uses words just like Kurt Cobain when he said words suck. She's using the words to dethrone words, which is self-defeating, isn't it?
It's self-defeating or it is the ultimate arrogance. And what she means is the rest of you people, your words are meaningless. Mine actually means something.
Right. But again, it's a great token from pop culture to show that there is not any wisdom. There are only talkers. And everybody in a position of authority is basically Charlie Brown's school teachers and parents. You know, it's just wah, 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 wah. That's the way our culture thinks and feels today.
Okay, I asked this question before the break. You had mentioned how in the days of Luther, when it came to teaching children, there were voices that said, look, let's just teach them enough so that they can earn a living, make their way in this world. That's all the more education they need. And Luther fought against that notion because he viewed education as a Christian vocation and as
right.
a legitimate pursuit. There are people in the church today who are practical minimalists when it comes to what the church teaches. They say, look, the less I know, the better off I am. So which is it? Are they afraid to learn more? Is this disdain or is it fear? Or do they simply disdain learning any more than they need to, so to speak, make their living as a Christian?
Yeah, those are great questions. I think, first of all, anyone who is thinking, you know, that the less I know, the better. Ignorance is bliss. They are not following the commands of Scripture. We are called to love God with all our minds. So we are to pursue this with vigor, and that we are not merely to do that for ourselves, but we are to pass that on diligently to our children. And that is the first and crucial, that is the essence of the law. That is the summary, Jesus says, of the law. And secondly, you find again and again throughout the epistles of Paul, for example, you find warnings about those who are naive, those who are ignorant, those who are ill-informed. For example, Romans 16:18, Paul warns about the false teachers who use smooth talk and flattery to deceive the hearts of the naive. And you have Peter in his second epistle talking about, Paul's words, Paul's epistles are sometimes hard to understand. So he's admitting that some of the things that Paul talks about are difficult. He doesn't say we should therefore dismiss them as, you know, these obtuse theological essays. You know, we need to get to the practical stuff. He doesn't say that. What he says is because they're hard to understand, often the ignorant and unstable sort of person will twist them to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. But he says, take care that you are not carried away with these kinds of lawless people, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our God. And so the answer is, so that you won't be taken away, taken captive, abused by those who have smooth talk and flattery, the antidote is to grow in grace and the knowledge of God and His Word. And that, I think, is the call of our day.
Okay, my daughter's freshman in high school. She's a smart girl. And so she's in honors algebra, which is difficult for dad because dad has to help her with the homework, and I never even really made it successfully through the first algebra course I took, the only algebra course I ever took. But I'm learning Now, I don't tell her this, Shane, but I really enjoy helping her with the algebra class because as an adult, I can look at this and say, man, what? This is unbelievable that God would make our universe so coherent that these things really do add up, that math really does work. It actually expresses transcendental truths about the way God has structured this universe. I don't say that because she already thinks I'm a big enough geek. So here we are the other night. We're graphing inequalities and piecewise functions and absolute values and stuff like this. And she asks me this question. I want your answer to it. When, she said with emphasis, when in ever will I ever use anything like this in life?
Well, that is the a pragmatic view of education. It's basically utilitarian. This is only good because it will be useful. And what we as Christians should say is that the world is worth knowing and the scriptures are worth knowing, even if they are not practically useful in terms of building a better automobile, if that's your calling and vocation, but because they're truth, and truth is worthy of its own study, simply because we want to rightly know what kind of world this is. We want to rightly know that the numbers add up. And Dorothy Sayers has a great quote about Christian education. And one of the things she says is that that Christian education is basically the foundation of it. It is it teaches kids that we live in a universe that makes sense, and there is a coherence. And those philosophies that aren't anchored in a belief in a logical God who speaks truth, basically are, you know, they have to have some chaotic, you know, worldview where the world just comes out of nowhere. Well, how do you have logic and reason in that kind of chaotic result? C.S. Lewis makes that argument in his book Miracles, that ultimately it's like founding an argument on a bad premise. If all of our reasonings are ultimately founded out of chaos, all of our reasonings don't make any sense.
So is that why, philosophically perhaps, why ideas like evolution that ultimately teach a chaotic universe out of which some order has just so happened to have emerged have taken hold even with otherwise sensible Christians?
I would say that that's possible. We certainly do have an emphasis on materialism, and right now is all that counts because the eternal has been eclipsed, and the words of Scripture are certainly eclipsed. And with Darwin's view, you know, you have nature is all there is, and I think that kind of bled also into the church with that. You know, it's not about it, it's all about the. I mean, there's even utilitarianism in the church and pragmatism. Something's only true if it works. There is no ultimate concern for truth. It's only important if you get a result. So the church, the best church that feels, you know, that has God's blessing, is the church that is growing. It's got the best numbers. That's pragmatism. That's not that is not actually a biblical justification.
It's a different basis for judging something to be true or false, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the person who says something is true because it works, you know, how do they how can you say that bank robbery is wrong? I mean, I can justify robbing banks because it works. You know, look, I was able to pursue this vocation with excellence and look at the fruit of my labors. there's no values in that kind of a philosophy of pragmatism.
So when we hear people like, you know, the gurus of pop American Christianity, people like Rick Warren say, I'm addicted to changed lives, or Christianity, he will often come very close to saying Christianity is true because it changes lives and makes Christians' lives better. And he will now say it makes society better. He's interested in things that actually make society better. Is that kind of pragmatism at work there?
Absolutely. That's it's the emphasis of the fruit rather than the cause. Christianity is first of all and first foremost true, and it does have certain effects. But there also are other philosophies, false religions, ways of thinking that, when applied, can have a result that is desired. You can experience peace in your life, for example. If you're looking to get rid of stress, Buddhism might help you. It doesn't make it true, though.
Well, on that, in that vein, then, the more and more Christianity becomes like Buddhism. That is, look, it works for me. It's an experiential measure of truth. What's
right.
the danger of Christianity becoming experiential, like Buddhism, for instance?
Well, someone recently, a musician recently told me, a Christian musician, said that his fear is that a lot of churches in our day are becoming more Buddhist in their emphases. That is, they are looking for this perfect mood that, without any distraction, to get people into this experience. And all those things are basically Buddhist ideas, because the Christian worldview is rooted in reality, and we sing songs of joy and praise to God in the real world that we live in. And in the real world that we live in, we're not trying to whip someone up into an experience per se, but we are trying to, we're part of that dialogue that God speaks to us, and we speak back praises to Him.
Somebody objects and says, look, my church has that experiential element, but then we're also a teaching church. We teach all sorts of things that the Bible teaches. It's practical, relevant teaching for people's everyday lives.
Right. Well, it's funny because a guy named J. Gresham Machen in the 1920s dealt with that same exact thing. He says, you go to a lot of these Bible studies, and you often don't find people talking about the facts of the Bible and the content of the Bible. They're not instructing you in the Bible. They're giving you tips for living. They're giving you these practical, informing recipes for your life. And he says, not that those things are bad. It's just that, first of all, I'd like to know more about Christianity before I try. You got to tell me about that before I try and apply it to my life. Tell me more about Christianity, and all of a sudden, the doctrines and the facts will motivate them. They will warm my heart when I find out who Christ is and what He has done for me. That will transform my attitude, and then you can teach me some application, just like in the order of the epistles. You know, Paul starts with doctrine and moves on to application. But if it's all application, now you're whipping up sentiment, and you're talking about felt needs. What are the itching ears that people want to hear? Paul even says the Greeks wanted wisdom, and the Jews sought miracles, but he preached the foolishness of the cross.
We're talking with Shane Rosenthal about loving God with all your mind. 10 more minutes in our conversation. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Shane Rosenthal is producer of the nationally syndicated radio program, The White Horse Inn. You can tune into The White Horse Inn Saturday afternoons at 12:30 here on AM 850 KFUO and listen for yourself. Shane, I understand that you guys have done some recent shows on Islam. Share with us the observations made recently by one of your guests about the susceptibility of pop American Christianity and its adherence as Islam grows in influence.
Yeah, we recently interviewed a gentleman by the name of Sam Solomon, who was a professor of Sharia law for years in the Middle East, and he converted to Christianity and was given basically 48 hours to leave the country or else he would be executed. And so he made his way to Great Britain and has been a resource to the House of Lords and the House of Commons and also the United States Congress in his knowledge of Islam. But mostly he is critical, and in our discussions he has been very critical of a weak-willed Christianity, that is a Christianity that is mostly about feelings and sentiment. He says this kind of feel-good Christianity will not be able to withstand Islam. These people really know what they believe. They are passionate about their religion, and they know it well. But American Christianity and the Christianity that he finds in Europe is very weak. In fact, he spent some time, once he converted to the faith, reading many, many books on Christianity, and found the only kind of Christianity of substance was in the writings of Luther and Calvin and the Reformation period in general. He finds, for example, the emphasis on covenant theology, where you really understand the law and the gospel and how they're distinct, so that you can make the distinction between the Israelites who are warring with the Philistines in a certain chapter versus a new covenant approach. And if you don't understand those distinctions, you will have, you'll be easy prey for being critiqued by those who are comparing Christianity or Judaism with Islam.
Well, does it go beyond critique? Could it even go to a situation of persecution? I mean, how does experiential Christianity stand up under a persecution at the hands of even militant Islam? I mean, Joel Osteen, how would he fare against Osama bin Laden if it came down to that?
Right. Basically, if it's feel good and practical sort of motivations, the thing that feels the best is to run away from the fire when you're being thrown into it, and also to it's not very practical to have a Christianity that is causing death to yourself or your loved ones. So the kind of Christianity that really, for all time, really, the kind of Christianity that has withstood persecution and conflict is a deeply rooted and well understood faith that is robust, that people know is true, and that they are therefore willing to die for it.
Let's talk about Christian education. Everybody's got their own idea about what it ought to be. The conventional wisdom, Shane, seems to be it's just regular education with Christian values peppered in there, sprinkled in there occasionally, and maybe we don't teach evolution. There you got Christian education. Where does that fall short?
Well, basically, the philosophy today, again, is that with regard to let's just throw in the mix some Christian Bible stories in Sunday school, but, you know, just go hunky-dory with American education in general. And if they're teaching evolution, maybe we'll pull you out, put you in a private school, and maybe it'll be a Christian school, et cetera. The problem is that even many private schools and all public schools are affected by a decreasing value of American education for the last 100-something years. It's just declined decade after decade. So that if you were to examine the entrance exams to, for example, a state college in Pennsylvania in 1900, you would be amazed what they are requiring. I mean, they're requiring you to know Virgil and Euclid's geometry. Fascinating. And then go a little earlier than that, to the mid-1800s. And if you wanted to get into Harvard and to Yale, you had to parse Greek and Latin sections of classic literature to get into the college. So we've seen an amazing decline in American education. So whether or not it's whatever school it is, it's less quality than it used to be. Now, with regard to a public school education, one of the problems that we find is that the entire emphasis, it seems to be, on making a kid feel good. There's the emphasis is child-centered curriculum that makes the person think that the teacher is the coach, and the emphasis is not to impose texts and ideas from above. So it's just this feel-good self-esteem curriculum, and there are a lot of good books criticizing that whole emphasis. But that will wind up undermining even the instruction that your child receives elsewhere. And so what the school that I'm part of, for example, and there's a strong movement of classical schools, is to recover the classical approach, which is to value texts, value words, especially the Word of God, but also the wisdom we can discern from other great books and texts, and to see that the whole worldview, the Christian worldview, is taught in every subject. So we have math, and we have science, and we have great ideas, because we love our neighbors. We want to understand our neighbors correctly. We want to get the position of our neighbors and the ideas that have shaped and moved our neighbors correctly. And the way that can be done is either by homeschooling or by finding a classical school, and that's why I'm involved in Providence Christian Academy.
You guys on the White Horse Inn talk a lot about Christians knowing what they believe and why they believe it. What do you guys mean by that? Why do you emphasize that finally here with about a minute or so?
Basically, the main reason is we've discovered over the last 10 or so years as we've been working, I've gone to convention after convention, and I just put microphones in Christians' faces at various conventions, and 95% of the people that I think I put a microphone in and ask if they can recite the Ten Commandments, 95 or so more can't. And so I think we are living at a time in which we are not passing the faith successfully to the next generation. There's a great study by a guy named Christian Smith who said that teens in today's Christian churches don't really believe in the Christian faith, no matter what denomination they're in. It's moralistic, therapeutic deism. That is, God's just there to make me happy and to be there when I need him. Again, pragmatism, all these things are part of the mix. So what we need in our day is to know what we believe and for us to pass that on to our children. And that's what the White Horse Inn is all about.
Shane Rosenthal produces the White Horse Inn. It's a nationally syndicated radio program. He's a board member for Providence Christian Academy, a classical school in South County here in the St. Louis area. They're going to be having a symposium on Friday, October the 20th. And Shane will be the keynote speaker there. His address is titled Loving God with Our Minds, A Christian View of Education. With less than a minute here, Shane, just tell us a little bit more about this symposium that's coming up on the 20th of October.
Yeah, I will be speaking on some of these themes. I'll also be talking about the overall decline, charting the course of where American education sort of lost its rudder, and what we can do to fix it. But ultimately, it's the Christian calling of loving God with our minds that anchors us in a word-based faith, and therefore, if we are to understand words, we have to use our mind and think about those things. And we created this symposium as a public service to the community, and we have these once a month. And so this particular theme is loving God with our mind, and I think next month we're doing one on understanding faith and history. So things that are relevant either with theology or of education in general, those are the themes we generally highlight. So,
is there a way our listeners can find out more about this symposium that's coming up here on the 20th?
Yeah, they can log on to our website, which is the Providence Christian Academy website is pcastl.org. And on the left hand of the column, there's a symposium icon that they can click and get a flyer.
All right. Thank you very much, Shane. It's always a pleasure. It's good talking with you. You should stop by more often. I know you're not always this far north, but you really should stop by more often.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure being on the show with you.
Shane Rosenthal is producer of The White Horse Inn. His presentation on the 20th of October, that's a Friday, at Providence Christian Academy, pcastl.org. For more information, is going to be called Loving God with Our Minds, A Christian View of Education. God has put us in a world. Creation isn't just window dressing, you know. Creation is the world wherein we live, wherein Christ entered in for our salvation. It is a world of ideas. It is a world of events. It is a world to be read and to be understood. All of this is not simply to delight in creation or the world around us, but to delight in the one who has given this world to us, who has redeemed this world by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and I should say, perhaps practice for the life to come when we will have a new heavens and a new earth to explore and understand and learn about. When we come back from this break, your favorite anti-Amendment 2 commercial. We're going to play 4, and we want you to call and tell us which is your favorite.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It's never too early to begin teaching your kids or your grandkids the substance of the Christian faith. Are you looking for a children's book with real Christian scriptural substance? Hi, I'm Todd Wilkin. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for October is called The Apostles' Creed. It teaches the basics of the doctrine of the Trinity right at the level of your children or grandchildren. You can find the Apostles' Creed at either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores in the St. Louis area. One is on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, the other at 3558 South Jefferson in the city. The Issues, Etc. book of the month for October, The Apostles' Creed, is a great way to begin teaching your children the truths of the Christian faith. Visit either of those two locations, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Look for the Issues, Etc. book of the month for October, The Apostles' Creed.
The world. Did God make it this way? Answers with Ken Ham, one of the designers of a large creation museum in the Cincinnati, Ohio area. Well, Ken, that sounded somewhat perplexing. Surely you believe God made this world we live in, right? Well, actually, this world we live in is not the world as God made it. You see, God made the original creation, which was perfect. He called it very good. But Adam's rebellion changed everything. You see, the world is suffering from sin and the curse, as well as the judgment of a global flood. As I say to people, you can tell this is not the world as God made it because we have things like poodles. These dogs have lots of mutations. That means mistakes in their genes. There's no way God could have called the creation very good if there were poodles. You know, Mark, sin has affected everything, including dogs. As Paul says, the whole of creation groans in pain, and it's all because of Adam's sin. By the way, if Christians believe in millions of years of history, then the groaning world we live in today, with all its violence, death, disease, and suffering and mutations, it must have been called very good. This undermines the very nature of God, and it certainly goes against what the Word of God clearly teaches in Genesis.
God's Word tells us the true history of the universe, and that's the theme of a fascinating booklet written by Ken Ham called The Seven Seas of History. You'll find the free booklet at AnswersRadio.com. AnswersRadio.com.
Issues Etc. regular guests, Drs. Arthur Just, Gene Edward Veith, and Paul Grimm are just some of the speakers at this year's Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through the 7th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, if you love worship, this is the conference for you. For more information, look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, area code 260-452-2244. Join Issues Etc. as we broadcast live from the Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through the 7th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You'll find Christ-centered, cross-focused worship at the Good Shepherd Institute, November 5th through the 7th, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Area code 260-452-2244 or issuesetc.org.
You are blessed, and therefore you have the right to the tree of life, not by merit, but by inherit, not by works, but by grace. Not through effort, but through faith. Wow, what a difference between every other religion in the world and Christianity.
Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, weekday evenings at 6:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. here in the last half hour. We're going to be playing. We're going to start a little single elimination tournament that's going to run today, tomorrow, the next day, and then on Monday as well. Then Tuesday, after having listened to 16 of the ads that come from Missourians Against Human Cloning, anti-Amendment 2 ads running in the Missouri area, all throughout the state of Missouri, we will have eliminated it down to four, and we'll play our final four. We're going to play four today. We want to know which one is your favorite and why, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Four tomorrow, four Thursday, four Monday. We'll get it down to those final four 1 week from today, Tuesday, next week on Issues Etc., and we'll give you an opportunity to pick your favorite of all these ads that are running, trying to tell the truth about Amendment 2. It's a proposed amendment to the Missouri Constitution. We've been talking about it for, I was going to say months, but perhaps even longer than months. 4 weeks from today, Missourians are going to go to the polling place and going to find Amendment 2 on their ballot. And Amendment 2 proposes that the Missouri Constitution be changed to the effect that anything that is legal at the federal level regarding embryonic stem cell research will be legal in Missouri. What does that mean? It means that Missourians, if they pass Amendment 2, which they shouldn't, but if they do, they will have legalized human cloning for biomedical research in their state and made it part of the constitution of their state. They, from that point on, unless they change that constitution again, no law they pass restricting embryonic stem cell research, that is the cloning or use of human embryos in destructive research to get their stem cells, the destruction of human embryos, no law they pass will have any effect. It will all be deemed unconstitutional if Amendment 2 passes. So, as crucial as this issue is, we thought it'd be best to walk through some of the ads that are running in Missouri. against Amendment 2 and see which of these ads are your favorite. Now, which commercial is the most effective in your mind and why? We want to hear from you. We're going to play four today, four tomorrow, four the next day, four Monday, and have our final four 1 week from today on Issues Etc. of these anti-Amendment 2 ads. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or you can call us 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 10th of October. Here's the first one. It's the one I've heard most. I don't know why, but it just is the one I've heard most, warning people about Amendment 2.
Okay, your checkup went great. Do you have any other questions?
Well, doctor, I want your advice about how to vote on Constitutional Amendment 2.
I can tell you how I'm going to vote. I'm voting no.
Why? Won't this amendment ensure cures for serious diseases?
That's what the supporters want you to believe. However, no treatments or cures of any human illness have come from embryonic stem cell research. Real hope lies in adult stem cell research, an issue that wouldn't require a change to our Constitution.
So then what would this amendment do?
It would constitutionally protect the cloning of human embryos for use in experimentation.
But didn't I hear that it will ban cloning?
That's one of the many things that supporters are claiming that isn't true. It will allow cloning human embryos for the sole purpose of destroying them for research.
Are you serious about this?
Dead serious.
Where can I get more info?
For a list of reasons to vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2, go to the web and type in nocloning.org.
Okay. When I get home, I will go to nocloning.org. Thanks, doctor.
Paid for by Missourians Against Human Cloning, Dan Shipley, Treasurer. Know the truth. Vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2.
All right, that one's called Doctor and Patient. It's the first one we're going to play for you today. We're simply asking you to vote. Which of these ads that we'll play for you today is most effective and why? You can email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Vote for one of them and tell us why you're voting for it as the most effective ad against Amendment 2 here in Missouri. By the way, you don't have to be a Missouri resident. We know a lot of people listen to us on the web all over the place. You can opine about this as well. Issuesetc@kfuo.org or call us 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. That first one was called Doctor and Patient. This second one is Dr. Mike Kanoyer.
Do you know the truth about Constitutional Amendment 2 and the many reasons to vote no? I'm Dr. Mike Kanoyer, former president of the Missouri State Medical Licensing Board. I know for a fact that Constitutional Amendment 2 will create a constitutional right in Missouri to treat precious human life as a commodity. I also know for a fact that if Constitutional Amendment 2 passes, it will allow big corporations to make millions of dollars at taxpayer expense. Amendment 2 opens the door to give those big corporations a blank check on your tax money for use in unproven and unethical human experimentation. You can prevent it all by voting no. Help block the wasting of your tax dollars by joining me and thousands of Missouri voters in voting no on Constitutional Amendment 2. For more information, go to www.nocloning.org.
Paid for by Missourians Against Human Cloning, Dan Shipley, Treasurer. Know the truth. Vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2.
All right, that's the second one. It's simply called Dr. Mike Kanoyer. You can just call it Dr. Mike if you want to. Is it your vote for the most effective of the four we're going to play of these anti-Amendment 2 ads? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The third one features Archbishop Raymond Burke.
Archbishop Raymond Burke of St. Louis speaks out against Missouri Amendment 2.
It hardly seems possible to us that we have arrived at a time when we, as Christian citizens of a free nation, would be asked to vote to guarantee the constitutional right to clone human life in order to destroy the human life to obtain embryonic stem cells for supposed cures. Yet that is the situation in which we find ourselves. We must be realistic about it and recognize the gravity of the situation. No matter what euphemisms are used to describe what the proposed amendment would provide, the reality is the horror of the legalized destruction of human life.
If you're against human cloning, you're against Amendment 2. Protect life. Vote no in November.
All right, that's number three, and here's the fourth one. If it is the one that you consider to be most effective of the four that we're playing for you today, of these anti-amendment two ads, you can give us a call, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address issues, etc@kfuo.org. By the way, folks, I know you care about this because I talk to people on a regular basis who are very knowledgeable about Amendment 2. Some of them felt like they were duped earlier in the year when they signed a petition thinking they were signing a petition to ban human cloning, only to discover either through issues, et cetera, or through some other means that it was actually an amendment that would permit human cloning for human destructive human research purposes. Here's the last one. It's attorney Mike Whitehead.
Here's another voice against human cloning.
This is Mike Whitehead. A couple of billionaires are spending over $15 million to get you to vote yes on Amendment 2. Amendment 2 is the Big Business Protection Act. They want a special constitutional right to create human embryos and then kill them for stem cells. Tell big business to live under the law like the rest of us, and that our Constitution is not for sale.
If you're against human cloning, you're against Amendment 2. Protect life. Vote no in November.
All right, which of these four? We're just dealing with the first four in line here. You can see all of them at noclonings.org under their radio television link. But which of these four that we played for you today do you think is the most effective of the ads in clearing up the misleading claims, or in encouraging people to vote no on Amendment 2? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address issues, etc@kfuo.org. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 10th of October, and we're asking you to narrow this down to one so we can go on tomorrow, narrow it down to one again, and then next week, Tuesday, we'll have our final four of these anti-Amendment 2 ads for you to choose which you think is the most effective and why. Is it the doctor and patient one? That's the first one. Is it Dr. Mike Kanoyer, where he explains why he's voting against Amendment 2? Bishop Raymond Burke, Archbishop Raymond Burke, making a very compelling argument and putting some historical context on this whole thing, or attorney Mike Whitehead, who comes at it from the issue of big biotech. Which is of these four is the most effective in your opinion, and why? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, our in-studio email address issues, etc@kfuo.org. You're planning on voting 1 month from today, give or take a day or two, aren't you? When you go there and you walk in, if you're a Missouri resident, to that polling place, one of the things you're going to be asked to vote for or against is Amendment 2. These ads should make a difference. All of them are good, but we want to know which of the four do you think is the most effective. And we want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The in-studio email address issues, etc@kfuo.org. Let's go first to Dan, who listens in Clayton. Hi, Dan.
Hi, I like the last ad because it addresses the change in the Constitution, why a state would alter its Constitution to conform to whatever laws come out of Washington with no check or no voice is beyond me, and I don't think we should be clowning around with our Constitution.
All right, thank you very much, Dan. That's a great reason. I hadn't even realized that, but it's true. Why would any state in its right mind say, hey, whatever the federal government wants to do, we'll just say that's okay? Let's see what Mary has to say. She calls from St. Louis. Hi, Mary. Which do you think is the most effective?
I would say Dr. Mike, because basically it talks about the pocketbook part. You know, why should we pay more taxes? And I'm sorry, most people are going to look at that instead of the other, the moral issue of the cloning part. I was going to vote no anyway, so that's no problem, but it's still kind of like people are going to say, oh, yeah, that's in my pocketbook.
So which one were you voting for? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
Dr. Mike.
Okay, Dr. Mike. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's number two then. Thank you very much, Mary. Yeah, and remember, these ads, I'm going to vote no. I'm not going to vote no because I'm not a Missouri resident. But if I were a Missouri resident, I would already be voting no. Think about the effectiveness in these terms, not how if they're effective with you. Would they be effective with someone who hasn't made up their mind about Amendment 2? So we got one vote for the final of the four. That's attorney Mike Whitehead. and one vote for the second, which is Dr. Mike Conoyer. What about the rest of you? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's see what Charles has to say, who calls from St. Louis. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, hello, Pastor Todd. I guess I'll vote for number one, but I would basically like if I could ask you a question.
Yes.
In talking with people and trying to encourage them to vote against this amendment, I recall back to when you interviewed the guy who was promoting the amendment, and you asked some good, hard questions, but I don't recall if you asked him about the definition of cloning. In the amendment, the definition of cloning, as you well know, is when the cell, the SCNT, is in place, placed in the uterus of a mother. That's the definition of cloning. But when in reality, all the scientific community and medical textbooks define cloning as a result of the SCNT. And I wondered if you had asked him that question and what his response is in case I would get that question.
Okay, that's a very good question. Thank you very much, Charles. Quickly, it was Don Rubin, chairman of the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, that we talked to just after they started running their ads in a major way. They did a major media buy and started running their ads in favor of Amendment 2. We got him on. He was kind enough to come on and answer my questions. I did ask him about the definition of cloning, and you're right, their definition is novel. It's, I dare say, never before thought of definition of cloning. It's quite different from what most people think of when they think of cloning. Most people think of some process, without going into the complicated science, some process by which you produce a human embryo. And they say, oh, no, it's producing a human embryo by SCNT, somatic cell nuclear transfer, and then implanting it in a woman's uterus. Well, by any logical definition, that's cloning and implantation, not cloning. Cloning is simply the production of the embryo. Jeff, could you look up the date when we talked with Don Rubin real quick and see what's it? Well, I wanted to be able to send Charles back there to see if he could get the full response to the question I asked. And I simply...
Screen while I get on the screen. All you got to do is do that.
Okay. Go to issuesetc.org, online, issuesetc.org. If you type Rubin, R-U-B-I-N, into the search engine, you can find our interview with Don Rubin of Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures and see what my response was. Tim calls from his car. Hi, Tim.
Hello. I wanted to vote for Archbishop Burke's statement because when I look at this, it cuts through the tertiary issues about big business and the like and cures, possible cures from stem cell research. It gets right down to the bottom line up front that life is the gift of God and that we're destroying a human life.
Thank you very much, Tim. You know, I thought another strength in the ad featuring Archbishop Burke was him simply asking that rhetorical question at the beginning. Did you ever think we'd get to the point here in this country where we would actually be trying to amend a state constitution to permit human cloning for the destruction of those human beings being cloned? Did you ever think we'd reach that point? All right, let's play them again. We've got four of these. They're actually 16, so that's why we're going to do this in successive days here on Issues, etc. These are the first four. The first one is called Dr. Impatient.
Okay, your checkup went great. Do you have any other questions?
Well, doctor, I want your advice about how to vote on Constitutional Amendment 2.
I can tell you how I'm going to vote. I'm voting no.
Why? Won't this amendment ensure cures for serious diseases?
That's what the supporters want you to believe. However, no treatments or cures of any human illness have come from embryonic stem cell research. Real hope lies in adult stem cell research, an issue that wouldn't require a change to our Constitution.
So then what would this amendment do?
It would constitutionally protect the cloning of human embryos for use in experimentation.
But didn't I hear that it will ban cloning?
That's one of the many things that supporters are claiming that isn't true. It will allow cloning human embryos for the sole purpose of destroying them for research.
Are you serious about this?
Dead serious.
Where can I get more info?
For a list of reasons to vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2, go to the web and type in nocloning.org.
Okay. When I get home, I will go to nocloning.org. Thanks, doctor.
Paid for by Missourians Against Human Cloning, Dan Shipley, Treasurer. Know the truth. Vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2.
That's the first ad today against Amendment 2, and it has one vote. The second one is called Dr. Mike Knoyer.
Do you know the truth about Constitutional Amendment 2 and the many reasons to vote no? I'm Dr. Mike Knoyer, former president of the Missouri State Medical Licensing Board. I know for a fact that Constitutional Amendment 2 will create a constitutional right in Missouri to treat precious human life as a commodity. I also know for a fact that if Constitutional Amendment 2 passes, it will allow big corporations to make millions of dollars at taxpayer expense. Amendment 2 opens the door to give those big corporations a blank check on your tax money for use in unproven and unethical human experimentation. You can prevent it all by voting no. Help block the wasting of your tax dollars by joining me and thousands of Missouri voters in voting no on Constitutional Amendment 2. For more information, go to www.nocloning.org.
Paid for by Missourians Against Human Cloning, Dan Shipley, Treasurer. Know the truth. Vote no on Constitutional Amendment 2.
Okay, that ad also has one vote. We're trying to get down to which of these four you think is the most effective of the four playing for you today here on Issues Etc. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The third one, which with Archbishop Raymond Burke, also has a single vote.
Archbishop Raymond Burke of St. Louis speaks out against Missouri Amendment 2.
It hardly seems possible to us that we have arrived at a time when we, as Christian citizens of a free nation, would be asked to vote to guarantee the constitutional right to clone human life in order to destroy the human life to obtain embryonic stem cells for supposed cures. Yet that is the situation in which we find ourselves. We must be realistic about it and recognize the gravity of the situation. No matter what euphemisms are used to describe what the proposed amendment would provide, the reality is the horror of the legalized destruction of human life.
If you're against human cloning, you're against Amendment 2. Protect life. Vote no in November.
That's the third one. It also has a single vote. Someone's going to have to break this tie, and our time is quickly winding down. Here's the fourth ad we're playing for you today. It features attorney Mike Whitehead.
Here's another voice against human cloning.
This is Mike Whitehead. A couple of billionaires are spending over $15 million to get you to vote yes on Amendment 2. Amendment 2 is the Big Business Protection Act. They want a special constitutional right to create human embryos and then kill them for stem cells. Tell big business to live under the law like the rest of us, and that our Constitution is not for sale.
If you're against human cloning, you're against Amendment 2. Protect life. Vote no in November.
All right, let's go back to the phones and see from the rest of you which of these is the most effective. They're all good, but which is the most effective and why? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've got a four-way tie. Let's see what Catherine has to say calling from her car. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Good. I think I would have to vote for number one because it puts a lot of the truth out there that people don't understand about the cloning and that they're really trying to mislead you. The only thing is, though, that the other two mention the constitutional right and the fact that this it's going to be a never-ending tax drain. I think that if they could come up with one that had both of them in there, the only one I think is good, but it wouldn't be as effective as the one with Bishop Burke because it definitely speaks to Christians specifically.
Okay, thank you, Catherine. That's an astute observation, one that Jeff made just a minute ago. He said, look, it kind of targets Christians, and we need to target everybody on this issue. That's true. But, Bishop, I think that one is targeted at those who are going to respect the voice and the thoughts of Archbishop Raymond Burke. Thank you very much, Catherine. Let's see what Keith has to say calling from his car. Keith, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Todd.
Hi.
I personally think that the Dr. Mike spot is the most effective. I think it probably most effectively counteracts some of the pro-Amendment 2 ads that kind of tug at the heartstrings of, I think some of the taglines are something to the effect of, it may help or save somebody you love. And I think Dr. Mike, because of his position of authority, speaks authoritatively, from a medical perspective, that counteracts, you know, the pro amendment to emotion.
All right, Keith, thank you very much. Yes, the voice of authority there. Let's see what Diane has to say, calling from St. Louis. Diane, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Todd. My young sons, 11 and 8, like Pastor, I mean Dr. Mike, but I tend to lean towards Archbishop Burke.
Why so, very briefly?
Just because it, when he says horror, when I think of it, it is just, you know, a horrible thing. And I don't think first of the tax and the Constitution. First, I think of the horribleness of doing what they want to do.
Thank you very much, Diane. Thank you. Let's see what Andy has to say. He's calling from Kirkwood. Andy, which is the most effective in your way of thinking?
Information on all four of them is absolutely necessary. I vote for one because I just agree with what Catherine said earlier. It really lays the cards on the table.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. All right. So Andy votes for one. I was getting worried there because we were headed for another four-way tie, which just wouldn't do. I'd have to let Jeff vote, which means he'd have to actually have listened to the ads in advance to know. He's in there just biding his time. Thanks to everybody who voted, by the way. The winner in this first round of our single elimination tournament on these ads against Amendment 2 is Dr. Impatient, the very first one. By the way, it features Dr. Mike Kanoyer as the voice of the doctor, so you kind of get a twofer there. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to let that one advance to next week's final four. Tomorrow, we're going to play another four different ads from Missourians Against Human Cloning for you, and we're going to ask you to choose the best of those four. Barbara Quigley, the director of the St. Louis Center for Bioethics and Culture, Haven Howard, the area director of Concerned Women for America, Dr. Richard Cole, who's been on this program, who's the department chair at Washington University School of Medicine, and Larry Collette, who's a CEO and CAS Information Systems here in St. Louis, I think, or someone in the Missouri area, talking about their opposition to Amendment 2. So, Dr. Impatient, that advances to next Tuesday. Next Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll have the best of these four rounds of single elimination against each other, which is the most effective anti-Amendment 2 ad running in Missouri. Remember, it's just a month until Missourians have to decide this for themselves. Tomorrow on the program, we'll be doing that again. We'll be playing a little bit more of this, the best of the anti-Amendment 2 ads. LCMS World Relief defends life from beginning to end. Find out more about them tonight when you go to the web or call them 1-888-930-4438. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.